Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is the text. We hear Paul eloquently say that you are to count others more significant than yourselves. You think about it, that's taking it a step even beyond love your neighbor as yourself. And you are to look not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. It's very popular in our world to flaunt a coarse, harsh, or demanding attitude, to look down upon another, to treat a person as being less than a person. And the anonymity offered on social media has made this worse. You can puff yourself up or put others down and never have to meet anyone face to face. I was reading an article on a study that suggested that narcissists, and people who are self-absorbed or think of themselves as self-important, tend to make more money than those who are not narcissists. And to my shock, the author mildly suggested that maybe that's a way to get ahead in life. And I was sitting there going, no, this is not, certainly not for the people of God. As Jesus says, for I came to serve, not to be served. Paul tells us that our Lord took on the very nature of a servant. He made himself to be nothing, humbled himself, became obedient to the will of his Father in heaven, even to death on the cross. As Christ followers, we are called to go and do likewise. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. This is the aspect of Christian life that makes life in the church unpopular for a great number of people, especially narcissists. Our sinful nature doesn't ever want to get the short end of the stick. We do something for someone, we don't like to think that we're getting nothing in return. What's so sad is that those who do not give of themselves, or do so reluctantly, never experience the real joy of giving. Instead, very often people just get caught up in their own little world and focus all of their attention around themselves and miss out on the greater gifts of life. This weekend, we are setting aside time to recognize and celebrate the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. A few weeks ago, I attended the LWML Fall Rally over at St. James, along with a number of our ladies. And God's work in the church never ceases to amaze. And because it's the 75th anniversary, and each of the churches had a representative that had done some research and gave a brief synopsis of work that had been done in the LWML, their activities throughout the years, It was really neat to look at all of the accomplishments, all of the things that had taken place in this 75-year history of the LWML. These ladies, along, of course, with other ladies throughout the district and the synod, have really done amazing work. Over the years, and still to this day, they provide resources for missionaries to preach throughout the world, and provide shelter and clothing for those who lack the basic needs of life. Understanding, of course, that God's word is the first and most fundamental basic need of real life. And when you think about it, their fundraising model is not something that corporate America would ever adopt. Here are some mic boxes. Put in your spare change. And they gather these mites throughout the year. And they send this seemingly small amount of money that is pooled together with the mites of others. And by the grace of God, you have pastors and teachers sent overseas. And those with nothing are sheltered, clothed, educated. Most importantly, are able to hear the word of God and brought to faith in Jesus Christ. It takes a tremendous amount of work and actually a tremendous amount of money to get even one missionary into a foreign country. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars are invested in each one. And I know this, I became enlightened to this. A good friend of mine at seminary, we were graduating the same year, his name was Doug Reinders. And, of course, we're all getting ready for call day, and none of us know where we're going, and it's, you know, we're all kind of on pins and needles wondering where we will be sent. And Doug already knew, but he couldn't tell anyone. And that was, I think, harder for him to actually know where he was going. Well, where he was going, he was being sent to Kazakhstan in the former Soviet Union. I have to remember, this is 1995. This is just a few years after the fall of the Soviet Union. And he had to commit to a 7-year mission over there because it was going to cost so much to get him out into the field, to get him ready and get him over there, and then to provide for him because, you know, Kazakhstan in the Soviet Union at this point in time was impoverished, and the people there were not going to be able to support him. And the cost, he told us what the cost was, and it was well into six figures. And this was in 1995, and I mean well into six figures. And every time I've told this story, or, you know, enlightened people on these things, my fear is the crowd will be calculating how much it would cost to send me to Kazakhstan. I don't know that I am ready for that. You know, the Lord has provided different men with different callings. You can ask Melinda if she's ready, but she's shaking her head no. So we'll just go with that. But then again, we never know what God has in store for us. I mean, Doug had no inclination. I mean, this was the guy who, he grew up in Wisconsin, and on vicarage, he vicared in Tampa Bay. And he said his ministry was preach, teach, reach, and beach. That was his ministry. And he had said wherever he went, you know, he grew up in Wisconsin. He wanted to go someplace warm. The Lord has a sense of humor, because if you know anything about Kazakhstan, that's like Siberia. And he went. Because this is where he was called to go. A call like that takes a very Christ-like attitude. But it was through the good stewardship of ordinary churches like ours, as if any church is ordinary. I mean, we are the members of the body of Christ gathered together here in God's house. Nothing ordinary about that. But ordinary Christians like you, as if any Christian is ordinary. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you after all. But in what the world views as ordinary, even weak, extraordinary things are accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the reason that the churches of the Missouri Synod got together in the first place back in 1847. I mean, men such as C.F.W. Walther and other pastors with names like Seeler and Hussman, who happened to be the pastor at the church in Decatur, Indiana, where I was baptized, and others, understood that a group of churches with the same belief, the same focus, who had concordia That is concord, unity, oneness, why we name all our schools that. They could accomplish things that individual congregations could not accomplish on their own. And so in 1847, 14 churches got together and became what is now the Missouri Synod with its 6,000 congregations. And the money pooled together has provided for colleges and seminaries to train pastors and teachers. And with those churches, by the 1850s, you already had women's auxiliaries being formed. And they were already doing charity work there in their local congregations and in their local places. And by the early 1900s, these women's groups had gotten to where they could organize into districts and states, because just like our synod, they could do more collectively than they could do individually. And the rest is history. Missionaries have been sent to every corner of the world. The Bible has been translated into innumerable languages. The Lutheran Hour radio program is broadcast throughout most of the world in many languages, so that the life-saving message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for our forgiveness and eternal life, can be heard, can be received, and others can come to know the joy that we have. All of this could not be accomplished simply by ourselves here at our Redeemer, but through our Lord blessing the collective work of fellow Christians like the ladies of the LWML. They have become a vehicle through which the Holy Spirit does his work, and God's word has found its way well beyond the city limits of Quincy. We may never see the fruits of any of that work that has been done. We may never see it with our own eyes. Or some of you may. Some of it you may find yourself doing mission work in Thailand, like we're going to hear about next week when Pastor Peter Kolb is here, as he is going to be sharing with us the work that is being done in Southeast Asia. And we rejoice in men like him, who, you know, 5 years ago, when he was a pastor in Vandalia, Illinois, probably wasn't thinking, oh, I'll probably be in Thailand someday. He, along with his wife and 8 children. But the Lord had a plan for him. Keep your options open. The Lord has a plan for you. And know this, that whatever you do in service of the Lord, he is with you. And you are a valuable part of the body of Christ. Whether it is offering your mites here at our Redeemer, or going to Thailand or Kazakhstan. In all that you do in life, as Paul says, count others more significant than yourselves. And as the ladies of the LWML say and sing, serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.